Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of ScaleUp Consulting, author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe every successful entrepreneur are those entrepreneurs that not only spot opportunities, but also continue to create, even when markets are down. And really excited today to have Priya on the call. Priya is part of the Prime Opportunities Investment Group, a very successful entrepreneur himself and businessman, worked in financial services for a number of years. So super excited to dive into what's going on in the market right now and your insights, Priya, into what's coming up next. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant to have you. And yeah, folks, you know, just dovetailing off what I mentioned a second ago, we all know it's in the headlines, it's in every newspaper you can think about, it's on everyone's lips. You know, the fintech sector and fintech companies are ultimately putting off IPO plans. They're all on hold. Oh dear, what's going to happen? We are cutting expenses as fears of an impending recession cause a shift in how investors view the market. But, you know, folks, let's take a deep breath. Because between you and I know of companies in my community that are really continuing their growth and building up. They've raised the money and they're scaling across borders in some instances. And put this together with the evolution of the World Wide Web, i.e. Web 3. And I believe, folks, that fintech is far from dead. And in fact, it's a great time to be alive. And it's a great time to be at the center of what ultimately is going to be an extraordinary build phase. And who better to have a conversation with about this than Priya? With all your knowledge and insights into the market, I'm super excited to dive into the subject today and actually dive in and not start talking about tech for once, because we talk about tech a lot on the FinTech Scaling Show. Take a step back and take a bigger picture, a bigger view as to what's going on in the world. And, you know, bring you into the show, Priya, and maybe look at this from a macroeconomic perspective. And, you know, there's a lot going on, but from your perspective, you know, how do you think the emerging macroeconomic outlook is going to be impacting financial services and also obviously, you know, sort of the fintech companies that are emerging? What's your view on that?
So what you said that resonated with me is take a deep breath, right? As you're saying, there's so much to digest and dissect and conceptualize and understand in these times that we're living in and all of the innovation that's happening in the fintech and the government issues and just a whole web of different complications at the same time, right? That we're trying to sort through. And because there's so many things going on everywhere, it's easy to kind of get distracted or to lose focus a little bit or whatever it is. And so taking a deep breath is probably the best first step, you know, you can do. And what I mean by that is that if you look back in time, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, there's always been issues, right? There's always complications, right? And they kind of change, right? But there are certain truths that remain and that are kind of the foundation and the bedrock of everything else, right? humanity, innovation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And so I think that if you look at the equities world, right, the US publicly traded companies, let's say, it's a nice microcosm of those fundamentals and those facts. Yeah. And, you know, something interesting, Richard, that we've found, which is that there's a lot of wealth created in the stock market. US public equities have returned, I think, like $47 trillion of value for investors over the last 60 to 70 years, right? So A, what that means is that, you know, human innovation and intelligence and people working together create an incredible amount of value. And that value gets distributed to the entire world, right? More specifically to your question, less than 0.5% of those publicly traded companies, this is a stat that I use a lot, have returned more than 50% of that $47 trillion of value, right? So it's really digging, understanding the macro, and then digging into the micro and finding those cosmic gems, if you will, of opportunities, right? And just, you know, I'll be real brief. On the macro level, you know, like you mentioned, there's a lot of innovation happening. There's a lot of beautiful things going on in the world. And there's a lot of camaraderie between people, between countries, between nations. And it always seems like there's fighting and arguing and things of that happening. But on a macro level, you know, the world is probably at more peace than it's been in the last 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, right? Some of these issues get exacerbated through the media. But overall, you know, we don't have nuclear warheads pointed at each other. It's more of a war of, you know, if you do this, I'm going to raise my tariff on you and you're going to raise your tariff on me. And those are kind of the problems that we'd like to have and be able to sort through. And so looking at it from that lens, automation, cloud computing, communication makes the whole world be able to jive and move forward faster. And then on the micro level is to be able to hone in on the actual companies that are really creating value and then go forward from there. So I'll start that as the macro.
I love it because you are positive, right? And folks, we need to be positive, right? There's a lot of noise out there and we need to cut through it. And, you know, if I look at the UK as an example, there's a lot of inward investment into the EV world, the electronic vehicles, tons of new technology coming up to, I guess, paint the pathway to really embed and adopt EVs by, I think it's 2030. So tons of investment going on right now. And even outside of that, in tech in general, in the fintech space, the tech space, loads of investment by government bodies to, again, make certain that we continue evolving our digital offering, digital assets, etc. And you take a broader look at other countries out there, such as France, in the European Union and others, they continue to do the same thing, invest in technology, right? Invest in these things that move us forward and move us closer together. So, you know, I quite like the outlook there because you can get persuaded by the noise, right? You can, in all honesty, right now in the UK, you can feel a bit like, oh my God, Brexit, what am I going to do? Everything's, there's a lot of cost involved in this. There's a lot of issues for businesses involved in Brexit. There's inflation. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of noise. But on the other side of the coin, as you suggested, the good path and the clear micro path is investing in good stuff, you know, ESG, tech, EV. And that's the areas, or those are the areas that green shoots are coming up. I've also, you know, mentioned Web3 at the start of the show. That as well is starting to really gain momentum as an offering in the market. So, you know, outside of this macro view, and the micro view is very interesting. How do you guys get into a view of the microeconomics and the position of companies that are taking these stances in downturns to really innovate and make an impact once we start moving out into a new economic cycle?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, you know, the name of the show is The Scaling Show, right? And so it really is about just measuring things properly and scaling, right? Hey, you know, this is happening, but then this is happening. And I think, again, talking historically, which is, as they say, you know, here the proof is in the pudding, right? Where if you look at it like 50, 60, 70 years ago, a company had an innovative product and they would say, okay, you know, we're going to start on the East Coast of the United States. Then we're going to get our sales team together. And then 5 years later, we're going to make it to the Midwest. And then five years later, we're going to make it to the West Coast. And that's how we're going to get the US geography cover, right? And spread our product. Today, what you're seeing as a result of exactly what you said, which is all this innovation, right? Which is comes from 10 and 100 different places coming together, right? When a company comes out with an innovation, in a year, they can be in 120 countries, right? 100%. Because the marketing team, the cloud computing, the ability to communicate, the ability for people to understand the different flavors and cultures of different countries, right? And the unity between people, right? Has created, there's so many foundational points that have created that opportunity. And then that takes you to the next step of identifying, right? Products and services that people want and need, right? And so that's what we've really done a good job of, getting out in front and identifying kind of the direction of the world, right? What people like. And again, what I like and someone in China and someone in the UK or the Middle East is very similar, right? And as we travel more and more around the world, you see that, you know, people are people, right? It's not some person has an antenna and some person, you know, has XYZ, right? There's little, you know, cultural differences and flavors, but the core, the heart, the brain, you know, the body is very similar. And so we live in a world of reality. And so to answer your question, and I like to use like real world examples, you find companies that are going to benefit a lot of people that have great management teams in place, right? That have a little bit of a better product, that they're working a little harder and they're a little bit ahead of their competitors in getting the product out, and they can scale. And so, you know, you find companies like that, and then it's, again, going back historically, it's that 0.5% of companies that create most of the value of the stock market, right? And you lock onto these positions. Like, you know, if you look at just a quick example, the first one that comes to my mind is Tesla, right? We got into Tesla 8 years ago, right? And we wrote, I think, like 50 pages about it then. And if you go back and you read what we said, exactly, almost point by point, what we said is going to happen is actually happening today, right? And the product is better, it's faster, it's safer because you don't have an engine in front of the car, right? It's better for the world. China needs electric cars because the pollution is so bad, right? And so if you find these opportunities and these companies that have really been outliers and you go back, it all makes perfect common sense, which means that if you have the conceptual ability to slow down and understand these operating businesses, right, ahead of time, it's all a question of reality. And then it's a question of structuring yourselves with patience and an ability to weather these crazy ups and downs that the stock market throws at you, right? And find these gems, be able to put yourself in a disciplined risk management spot, and then really just, you know, be business oriented. And really what you're doing at the end of the day is, you know, you're identifying businesses. You're not looking at a ticker symbol, something that you're going to get in and out, right? It's not speed dating, right? It's a long-term, beautiful relationship that takes time for these factors to come together. And when they do, your stocks go through the roof. And so that's really the way that I would approach this business is slow down, really analyze the underlying businesses. Don't get caught up in XYZ. Look at everything, right? Again, I'm going to use another thing. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Find the companies that are going to take advantage of all the situation. There's plenty of innovation happening. There's plenty of opportunities all the way around, and be able to scale properly and understand the, you know, the variables.
I like it. I mean, you mentioned taking on a position in Tesla 8 years ago, maybe when Tesla were just at the infancy of what they're starting out to. And I guess in some ways that's obviously you went through your analysis and you went through the process of really understanding the stock and the business. But I guess, you know, at that point in time, it wasn't the Tesla it is today, right? And one could say you took a slight risk in taking on Tesla at that point in time.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
I guess my question here is, looking forward now and looking at, you know, scaling and building your business and looking beyond the next 3 months, the next 6 months, but looking further ahead into the next 8 years, what risks should founders out there be taking so they can invest in the right things? And I'm not saying they have to invest in the stock market or they have to invest in building products, but maybe they invest in people, maybe they invest in a location. What are the top three things that they should be thinking of right now? So, you know, in 8 years' time, you know, they're having this conversation that they had, you know, the sort of Tesla moment that you guys have had.
Yeah. And I think it's really about the thought process.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, we were in Amazon 12 years ago. We got into, you know, Chipotle and a lot of these companies that have created the returns.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been able to identify companies that were on the tail end of this, you know, IBM and GE and companies like that 6 or 7 years ago. So, you know, when I mention the stock market, I don't really even mean the stock market. I just mean kind of common sense reality. So that same principle holds true whether you're dealing, believe it or not, with your kids in the way that you stay calm and you evaluate what's going on in the situation, whether you're running a private business, whether you're deciding to invest in a restaurant or a hair shop or whatever it is, right? It's just slowing down and really being able to think a little bit long-term, right? Before you step into a situation and say, hey, you know, what are the dynamics of what I'm doing? What are the trends? What is the desirability, right? From the end user perspective, how much value am I adding, right? Where are my competitors coming from, right? And so it's that type of a mindset that I think sets the basis for everything in life, right? I mean, you can go out and, you know, you can be running so fast in life that you don't enjoy life, right? So it's being able to conceptualize, it's being able to the consciousness of kind of what you're doing and how you're doing it and getting the bigger picture. And then working down is a lesson that applies, whether it's a stock market or anything else, you know, in practical world and business. And so, you know, to answer your question, I would say slow down because you could work your butt off your entire life or for a long period of time and not have spent a little bit more time thinking about the big picture, where these days, especially, it's more about understanding the big picture and then doing it right and working hard. And it's kind of like a funnel. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, that would be my recommendation, whether it's in the stock market or an operating business that you're running or even what you do in terms of during your life. Right. Yeah. You want to be in growth areas where you're going to help the world, where, you know, there's lots of money in there because you are creating value.
Yeah.
Right.
I like what you're saying there. It's like get off the hamster wheel. Right. And don't worry about that. You're off the hamster wheel. Not everyone on the hamster wheel, actually people on the hamster wheel are going to necessarily burn out at a point in time. And it reminds me of a story, actually, a few weeks ago. This is a personal story. I was looking at different parts of my business and looking at how I can scale up certain elements of it. And there's a lot of different opportunities out there. And everyone, you know, a lot of different people saying they can do a lot of different things, which, you know, by the way, everyone's offer is a brilliant offer. I'm not saying that it's a bad offer, but I took a step back, as you said, and I didn't make a decision straight off the bat. And I thought about every single offer that was put on my table. And I really asked myself the question, how will these folk not only add value to me, but also add value to my wider community if I take them on board, right? And it quickly whittled down to actually none of them would. So actually what I need to do in this instance was optimize something in my business to make that step change. So it was actually looking at me. It was an internal change that I need to make, which I was actually quite surprised by. I was like, okay, that's interesting. Okay, so I need to sort certain things out in order for me to do X, Y, Z and add more value to the community. Okay, great. Let's go off and do it. If I was on the hamster wheel, I'm telling you right now, I would have, you know, selected anyone that had come to my door. And actually must probably waste a bit of money and the value into the community and my client base must probably would have been eroded somewhat because it was the wrong solution at the wrong time, right? So love what you're saying there. And it's vital that life and business are meshed together because that's what they are. You don't have to run it 100 miles an hour all the time. Sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's not. But if there's big decisions to be made and there's big calls to be made, take a step back, right? Take a step back, chill out, have a glass of wine, and then you know, come back to it the next day or the day after that or the day after that. and do it when you're ready, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you think about what you're saying, which is really quite interesting, is that, you know, there's always disparity in opportunities, right? And if you go back, those disparities and opportunities were greater and greater. And so one of the big advantages of innovation and the whole world getting better and, you know, I mean, just going back to, you know, creating food and the economies of that gives us all an opportunity to actually think and enjoy life further, right? It gives us that opportunity that we don't need to be going out and plowing the field. I mean, I'm taking extreme examples because that's how you get the kind of the gist of it, right? And as innovation is happening more and more, we could either go faster on the hamster wheel, like you said, and kind of get lost, you know, social media, everything else. Or you can say, you know what? I now have the opportunity where I have a little bit more time to think. And it puts a little bit more pressure on individuals, right? But it actually creates immense opportunity for growth mentally, physically, spiritually, monetarily, right? And so, you know, as you're talking, you know, it all comes together that that innovation that we're talking about and fintech and, you know, social communication and everything else creates all these opportunities for us to go much higher. But it also creates more opportunities for us to fall, right? And it's a trade-off that the human mind is, I hope, always willing to take over the long run. And, you know, we may stumble, but over the long run, you know, that's the difference between a human being and other, you know, animals on the earth, is that we can conceptualize. And sometimes it can work towards a detriment, but in the long run, people learn from each other and it's part of advancement, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, well, 100%. And, you know, as we're talking about, you know, moving forward, there's a lot going on in the market. So, you know, there's lots of innovation, as we said a number of times already today. As we move forward in the fintech and financial services space, what do you see as the as some of the challenges that not only fintechs face, but also institutions face? I mean, you know, we see JP Morgan, Goldman, Citi, Barclays now yesterday bought a stake in a crypto business. So what are the challenges faced by both fintechs and also institutions as we plow our way forward in this new sort of digital economy?
Yeah, you know, everything has to kind of stack up and make sense together. And so to our point, the problem and the difficulty, right, which is actually for the betterment of everyone, is that if you have product and services, whether it's JP Morgan, Goldman, anybody in the world, right, at the people at the top of their game, if they stop innovating, right, they can get their butt kicked a lot faster than it used to be 30, 40, 50 years ago, right? And 100 years ago, right? And so you need to be on top of your game and you need to conceptualize back to our initial discussion. And so what you really need to do is not say, oh, it's IBM or it's GE, so they can do no wrong. I mean, a lot of people put their money and they invested in a company or a stock and they really stop looking at the fundamentals of it. And it's just by kind of, you know, the name of the company. And so I would really caution about putting your mind into any name and just sticking with that. That may have worked a long time ago. At the same time, I'm not saying that you should be running around like a rabbit, just keep changing and moving and jumping from thing to thing, but really sit down and evaluate the opportunity, because some of the biggest companies in the world may not be around in 40, 50 years, even 30, even 20 years. And you're seeing that these companies that are shooting up irrationally and then just getting crushed on the way down. So that's what you really need to watch out for. And the flip side of that is that if you're able to find those companies that are doing things a little bit better and a little bit more innovative. And by the way, it's not how many people you have anymore. It's the intelligence of the people that you have. So you can find those companies. And it's quite obvious if you allow yourself to slow down and really go through the analysis and see which companies are taking over, you know, doing things a little bit better than previous companies. And so the risk and the opportunity is, don't just fall for a name. And that's where you can kind of get into trouble.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And you know, as we sort of head into the next section of the podcast, what's some advice that you give to fintech founders out there that are trailblazing their way to a new ecosystem? What's the one bit of advice you give to them that allows them to get to their destiny and achieve what they want to achieve as part of their mission?
Yeah, I would say just, you know, find out what people want, right? Like what attracted us to Amazon 12 years ago is Jeff Bezos's tagline, which is obsess over clients, right? And so, you know, if you know you're playing a puzzle, if you could see how the puzzle is going to look at the end, it makes it much easier to create that puzzle.
Yeah.
Right. So to put the pieces together. So if those companies can find out, hey, what are Americans, Europeans, Middle Easterns, what are they looking to solve? Right. No. Is it hard to transfer money? Is it hard to buy Bitcoin? Is it hard to whatever that problem is? Right. Reverse engineer and then come back and say, okay, how do I make that problem? How do I solve that problem a little bit better? And if you can do that, right? And the only way to do that is by understanding what the problem and the real issue is. Yeah. But if you can do that, then the consumer will come running to you, right? Because that product and service is desired and needed. And as you see, you know, some of these companies just completely take off and surpass, you know, legendary companies that have been around for 50, 80 years because they're finding what the consumer wants, right? Or the business wants, and they're addressing that need. And therefore, it's helping the entire world. And so, yeah, that's what I would suggest is focus on the final look of the puzzle and what it's going to look like and what needs to be solved and then work backwards from there.
Nice. Love it. And now we go into the flash round, folks. The flash round, as everyone knows, is some more fun at the end of the podcast. I ask three questions, sort of yes and no answers, and then I give him the mic and put him in the hot seat, and he asks me one. So here we go. Drum roll. By the way, everyone, I'm still looking for a drum. So if you have one, drop me a note and we can exchange some DMs. But right now, my desk is the drum. So here we go. First question. What do you think is going to happen next in the fintech space? More disruption or market consolidation?
More disruption.
Oh, love it, love it, love it. There we go. That's what I said earlier as well. We're in a good space. Next one. Growth. For you, what's the best growth method? Is it community-led growth or is it product-led growth?
I would say it's product-led growth.
Okay, nice. Like it, like it. Last one. Is Web3 going to disrupt the Apple cart?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see, but I would say yes.
Okay, interesting, interesting. I think the market is out there, and I'm also diving into it right now and taking a look exactly what's going on. So yeah, I like your answer. Okay, so all answers are good answers, by the way, and all answers are the correct answers. It's a great game, right? So now I give you the mic, Priya, and you can ask me any question you like.
What's the most enjoyable and knowledgeable interview that you've done? What did you kind of get out of it?
Okay, there we go. There we go. Actually, you know what? The most enjoyable, I guess, time I've ever had to engage with someone of a certain ilk was actually a long time ago. That was Nelson Mandela. And what I got out of that was empathy as a leader, being persistent as a leader, and also the ability to collaborate when everyone around you says, no, 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 don't do that. That was amazing. That happened to me at a young age when I was only 13 years old in South Africa. More recently, I'd say, in all honesty, every single, and this is not glorifying all my guests, but every single guest I've had on the FinTech Scaling Show over the last 2.5 years has brought their own magic to the show. And brought their own insights and their own take on certain topics. And each one of them has inspired me and has inspired my audience. And each one of them have got people coming to me and asking me, you know, a number of different questions and also telling me how great the show was. So, you know, it's not a cop out because I don't want to cop out on a question, but each show has had its own magic and own flavor, and each guest has their own magic and own flavor. So I'm going to say all of them. I'm sorry. Bad answer.
It's a great answer. The Mandela part was amazing.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life, actually. But yeah, listen, absolutely amazing having you on the show. So I really, really enjoyed it. Some really great insights, some great nuggets, folk out there. We're lucky to have Priya on the show today, actually. So really excited that you came on. And Priya, I always say to guests, is there any way that if people out there want to get in touch with you guys, what's the best way to do so?
Yes. So you can go to our website. The name of the company is Prime Opportunities Investment Group. Yeah. And you can go to our website, www.primeop.com, PRIMEOPP.com. And we'd love to communicate.
Brilliant. And folk, don't worry about writing any of that down. I'll include it all in the show notes, so you can just copy and paste it and reach out if you want to reach out. And thanks again, Priya, for coming on the show. It's been absolutely amazing having you on the show. Looking forward to going live with this and also looking forward to our continued relationship.
Pleasure. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.